1985.
Hey, you guys.
And welcome back to Sloth Love Chunk, your favorite Goonies superfan podcast. I'm your host, Ants.
And I'm Matt.
And on this episode of Sloth Love Chunk, we are going to discuss amazing films from 1985.
There's a ton of them.
But before we do that, I want to make sure that you guys check us out on our social media, which is just Instagram at Sloth Love Chunk Pod. You can email us at goondocs@slothlovechunk.com, and also our website, slothlovechunk.com. All right, Sloth. Maddie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
1985, greatest year in movie history?
I think so. I didn't. When we first talked about it and I brought up the actual list, I think so.
I think it's either 84 or 85.
Mm-hmm.
But man, 85's got the Goonies. So
it's got so many hits.
It gets the edge, you know?
Yeah. My gosh.
All right. So to review 1985, just how amazing these movies were, I'm going to go down the top 10-ish. Top 10 grossing movies, just to give you guys an idea of how many amazing movies there were.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a bunch of different lists, and the positions change on some of them. So I'm just going to give it to you how I think it was. So the Goonies, actually, on some lists was number 10, a minus number 9.
Good.
The highest grossing movie of the year. $62 million, which is a lot in 1985 coin.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Then we had the Harrison Ford movie Witness. Jewel of the Nile. Love that movie.
Yeah.
Cocoon. These movies would not get made today.
No.
You know?
That kind of creeps me out, that one.
Here's another one. Number 5. Out of Africa. Never get made today.
Uh-uh.
Number 4, The Color Purple.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go Rocky 4. Then after that, The Year of Stallone. Number 2 was Rambo First Blood.
Whoa.
Part 2. So Stallone had two movies, top 3 grossing 1985. Hmm. Number 1 film of 1985, what was it, Matt?
Back to the Future.
You got it. Back to the Future blew everybody away.
Yep.
$215 million for the year. They're about $75 million ahead of number 2, Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a Goonies podcast. I think the most special day from 1985. It's June 7th. Mm-hmm. And that's when The Goonies was first released in movie theaters. And when it opened, it actually opened at number 2. It did not open at number 1.
Who was number 1?
It was Rambo. It was Rambo First Blood. It was Rambo's second week at the theater, but it was still number 1. Rambo opened, its second week it had 10 million. Goonies opened with 9.1 million. So they were neck and neck. And it stayed up. It stayed up there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the only other new movie that week that opened up was a movie called Perfect. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I got nothing.
It stars John Travolta and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Interesting.
And I think he's like a journalist who's doing an article on fitness clubs in the
70s. Oh, my God. It's fitness clubs. Oh, my God. Is that how he says it?
That movie bombed. Of course, you're up against the Goonies, bro. It was only in theaters for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking Steven Spielberg and Richard Donner, you know?
All righty, Maddie. So, what kind of list are you going to give me?
Okay, so we first talked about this, and we wanted to kind of give our listeners an idea of what was going on besides the Goonies. What was Goonies adjacent? And when I was looking at this huge list of all these awesome movies, I wanted to put my list into the vein of that also tries to capture the spirit of what the Goonies is. You know, it's just a bunch of misfit kids against the man, the foundation, you know? So that's how I did my list.
So these are all movies from 85?
Yes.
Sort of are in the vein of the Goonies?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So number 1. There's no particular
order. So you're going, there's no order. Okay.
No. So the first one was Real Genius. It was released August 7th, 1985. If you're not familiar with the film, it's about this young kid named Mitch. He's like a prodigy. He gets wooed by this professor to go to this school and to build this laser. He ends up working with Chris Knight, played by a young Val Kilmer. And throughout the movie, they're trying to produce this laser.
Is this the one where they use a laser to make a bunch of popcorn in the house?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they have like the voice of God.
Uh-huh. In the guy's tooth. Yeah. So, you know, like I said, it kind of falls in the vein for me of, you know, it's these misfits, geniuses within the school. There's Mitch and there's Chris Knight, who's Val Kilmer. And there's this guy named Laszlo who like hides out in their closet. He's like a total weirdo. He can be like the sloth of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, at the end of the movie, they refocus the laser and destroy the evil professor's house. So that kind of.
I remember watching that movie quite a few times. It's been forever, yeah, though, since I've seen it.
Yeah.
Do you think 80s Val Kilmer is prime Val Kilmer? Or do you think like 90s?
No.
Alternative.
No, I
don't 80s. Know, man. The 90s got Tombstone.
Oh. When was Top Gun? 80s?
86, okay. I think. Was that 84?
I don't know.
I think it was 86.
Okay.
It might have been 87.
I'm going to say 80s Val Kilmer. But yeah, so that's the first one I'm going to mention there. It was directed by this gal named Martha Coolidge. She didn't do a whole lot. She did a movie called Valley Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Yeah, so there's mine. I did yours.
I did my favorite.
Okay.
Movies from 1985. So this is just me.
Uh-huh.
You're probably going to hate some of these. So my number five is Enemy Mine.
Oh, yeah. Is it Dennis Quaid?
Dennis Quaid and Louis mm-hmm. Gossett Jr.
Yeah.
So what's crazy about this movie came out in 85. And this really bothers me. Is that I have vivid memories of going to the movie theater and watching this movie mm-hmm. at the theaters in 1985.
No
but
way.
But I do not have that memory for The Goonies.
Whoa. So what stuck out? What made that one stick out?
I think what made this stick out is we went to the theater and I went with my dad and mm-hmm. he had the time wrong for the showtime when it started.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to kill like an hour and we walked to a Dairy Queen that was nearby. So I don't know if it was like that association of the sweet treats of Dairy mm-hmm. Queen, you know, with the time sort of imprinted on my mind.
Was there Mississippi Mud?
No,
eruption.
I always get peanut buster parfaits.
Oh,
grape.
Apple.
Yeah. Enemy of Mine.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Good movie. Matt.
Doesn't he gives birth, doesn't he? Louis Gossett Jr.'s character.
Yes.
He gives and then he dies. Birth
to his son.
Okay. And then he dies, and yeah.
Then he dies, and then Dennis Quaid's human character has to take care of the son. But originally they're warring species.
Right. They both kind of crash planet. Landed on the same planet.
But they come together.
Wow. That's beautiful. A good one.
Yeah.
I agree with that one.
Give me your next
Kids Explorers.
Oh, Explorers, yeah.
Released July 12th, 1985, directed by Joe Dante, one of my favorite directors. He did Gremlins 1 and 2. He did The Burbs, which is my all-time favorite underrated film.
Those are Corey Feldman movies.
Yeah. He's in quite a few. Uh-huh. And then
this is Ethan Hawke's first movie.
Yeah, this is Ethan Hawke, young River Phoenix. Once again, group of kids. Well, trio. There's Ben, played by Ethan Hawke, and then there's Wolfgang, played by River Phoenix, and then there's Darren, who's played by a guy named Jason Essen.
That guy fell.
Jason Presson. He didn't do a whole lot. But the gist of the movie is this young guy Ben is having dreams of this circuit board. He doesn't know what it is, so he takes it to his nerdy friend Wolfgang. You know, typical German scientist cliche kid, and they figure out it produces like a bubble that if you're inside it, inertia doesn't exist and you can fly through the ground or water, whatever. Turns out, you know, they're getting these images from space kids or space aliens.
Yeah.
Turns out they're kids as well.
I loved this movie as a kid.
Yeah.
So I made my son watch this movie like a year ago. I was like, oh, Toby, this movie is amazing. You're going to love this movie. He's like, okay, Dad. We sat down and watched this movie. Oh my God, it was terrible. Have you watched it lately?
Yeah.
It was.
Oh. No.
And he was bored out of his mind.
Oh no. So you know what I can't handle is the space kids. I have to stop the movie when they actually show up because I just can't take a...
Well, you think their designs look dorky or something?
Yeah, it's just too quirky. It's too... I don't know.
Kind of like...
Yeah, it's too much, but...
It was too slow. It just dragged. I don't know. There was no act. There was no excitement. I don't know why I remember as a kid. I used to watch it all the time. I was like, this movie rocks. You know what I think it was? I think when we were kids and we're watching these movies, I think our minds just sort of like shut off when it gets boring and we're probably just daydreaming things. We're just we're waiting for the cool scenes, like the carousel thing getting, you know, in the bubble and then going to space and then the spaceship. But everything else, I think we just like, we're not paying attention. You know, we're just daydreaming or something. Because when I was watching it a year ago,
now that you mention it, there is kind of... I'm trying to think of the highlights.
There ain't none, dude.
It's really when they take off. Yeah. Okay. Well, you kind of burst in my bubble a little bit, but
you can never go home again.
No. But that's my next one. What's yours?
So my number four, Ant's favorite movie of 1985, is Jewel of the Nile.
Yes. Joan Wilder.
John Wilder!
John Wilder!
John Wilder!
Oh,
I watched that movie all the time. It's because my parents had it on VHS. So, you know, I only had so many movies, but I always watched. I don't know why, but I always loved that movie, you know?
Michael Douglas. Was Danny DeVito in the first one?
Yeah. He was in both of them.
Right? Okay. What was the order? It was Jewel of the Nile and then Romancing the Stone? Or vice versa?
Oh, dang, dude. Now I got to look this up. Now you got me sorely confused.
I can't remember which one was the...
Holy schnollies, dude. You're right.
It's the sequel, right?
It's the sequel.
Yeah, because...
So no, it is not my fourth favorite movie then. Holy crap. Oh. I thought it was number one because I didn't... It was the sequel.
Yeah, that's the one. The Jewel, it turned out to be the guy, right? The guy that had been schlepping around. Romancing the
Stone was 84.
Mm-hmm.
This is 85.
Ha.
I'm a loser.
Well, you busted my...
Hey, you know what, guys? You know what? I don't know anything except for the Goonies. So
it's still a good movie.
Don't hold it against me.
I mean, there's still a lot of action.
But hey, if this is about 1984, Joan Wilder.
Joan Wilder,
number one.
Was she in part? She was in part two. So yeah, she was still there.
Okay, 1980s. Kathleen Turner, prime Kathleen Turner.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah,
very much so. Let's move on. So this, it's funny that we just discovered that one's in 84 because mine was technically released in the US in 86, but it was released in France in 85.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Legend. Yes.
Legend.
Directed by Ridley Scott, starring Tom Cruise as Jack from the Green. He's like this nymph-like forest dweller who gets along with all the magical creatures. And then there's Mia Sara of Ferris Bueller fame as Princess Lily. She's just like this super innocent girl. And there's, of course, Tim Curry as Darkness, the big devil guy.
Top Gun was 86.
Huh. So it was, okay. Was this his... This wasn't his debut, right? Outsiders?
No, I think Outsiders.
Okay.
See how jacked up his teeth were in Outsiders?
Yeah. Anyway, it's also, to me, it's in the vein of the Goonies because, you know, you take Jack character and he meets up with Gump, Brown Tom, and Screwball, Una, you know, they all have to kind of gang up forces in Storm, Darkness's castle. So it's very much to me like a Goonies movie.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to watch that, the international, I guess the French version, because the French version has completely different music from the American version. The French one has, I think it's Jerry Goldsmith does the music. And he often, like, he recycled a lot of his themes. So I wonder if, like, maybe that's the same thing here. But for the US, it was Tangerine Dream.
Right. The German band.
did the music for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's longer
with the
French one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not big of a Legend fan.
There's different endings. The French one has Jack actually, or Lily rejecting Jack, and they kind of realize that they can't be together.
What's the fantasy movie with David Bowie?
Labyrinth? Young Jennifer Connelly.
They're both hot chicks. Both start with L. Yeah.
I know.
All right. That's a good movie, Matthew.
Let's hear your next one.
So my number three movie, this is 1985, guys. Don't worry. Maybe I should Google it before I say it.
Yeah,
I'm not no raggedy man.
Mm.
It's Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Yes.
Love that. This might be the second most quotable movie from 1985. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, you got that. You got Bartertown.
Two men enter, one man leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to admit something. Until recently, I thought it was Bartertown.
Oh, no, I always knew it was Bartertown.
I didn't know it was Bartertown. Who runs Bartertown? Who?
Master Blaster.
Yeah.
Master Blaster runs Bartertown. Yeah, this whenever I watch this movie, I always think of you.
Yeah.
In that one scene, you know, when it's like, because of Blaster.
He's a guy. He's
look
a
at his face. He's got the mind of a child. It's not his fault. I always think of you.
Because I grew up. I love you.
As the rules, Raggedy Man.
Yeah. Tina Turner. My gosh. That's a great film.
The Mad Max movies kind of freaked me out as a kid, though. The whole post-apocalyptic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the ending where he really, like, you don't really know what happens to him, and they're just telling the story of him.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Wait, that's the one. Okay, so Mad Max Thunderdome. My gosh, I love it even more. That's the one with the kids, right? Where they think he's Captain Walker?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that is a good choice.
You know, I've met Mel Gibson many times.
I know. You told me.
I probably met him like six times. He's a cool dude sometimes, and sometimes he was pretty drunk and a total a-hole.
Hopefully
Mel Gibson doesn't listen to this.
Yeah, show up at your door.
I was talking to him one time, and he was like, what is your favorite movie of mine? And I was like, Mad Max, bro.
Yeah.
He doesn't say it like that. He's like, he's got like a really weak accent.
He's like, bloody chenda.
Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do that anymore. We got in trouble.
All right. That's Australian.
All right, give me your next.
Okay, this is a weird one. But I actually used to show this. Remember USA Network?
I didn't have cable as a kid, bro.
Okay, so USA Network, well, I didn't get it till much later. It would kind of show the same movies over and over. And this was one I saw as a kid. I don't think I ever saw the unedited version. Anyway, it was released in July 19th, 1985. It's the little known The Legend of Billie Jean.
I've never seen it.
Oh, so it stars Helen Slater, who actually was Supergirl the year before.
Is that Supergirl? Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Christian Slater, no relation, has her brother Binks, and then a young Lurdley Smith of Lisa Simpson fame.
Oh.
And so it's kind of, it's kind of another group of kids. The premise is...
Wait, time out. Can you hear the Lisa Simpson voice a little bit in the movie, like when she talks?
Yeah. She's always... Yeah.
Oh.
You can totally hear it. Yeah, so the story, the premise is Billie Jean and her brother are kind of having a good time. This bully kid comes, aka like Troy Perkins, and kind of harasses him. Then later on, the brother throws a milkshake in the rich kid's face, and the rich kid retaliates by stealing his bike. Then they try to steal a bike back. And the kid's dad, the rich kid, the rich bully's dad, tries to sexually assault Billy, and her brother shoots him. They become fugitives. So it's this group of teenagers, kind of. I think there's four of them. And they end up joining forces with the guy who played Jason Mellon in Back to School, Rodney Dangerfield movie. Yeah. And so he kind of joins up with them. And, you know, they, as fugitives, they become legends, the legend of Billie Jean. And there's this big line that comes from that movie, fair is fair. you know, because all that she ever wanted was for that guy to pay for the stolen bicycle or bike. And
I always saw the poster for this movie, and she's sort of wearing like a Lycra suit, right?
Yeah.
So I always thought it was like a dancing movie.
No. Part of her rebellion is she cuts off all of her long, beautiful blonde hair and, you know, gets short haircut. And there's this Pat Benatar song, Invincible, that always plays when she's giving her speeches. So, yeah, it was a good one.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's not too well known.
All right. What's my number two favorite movie of 1985, Matt?
Is it Back to the Future?
Nope, it's The Goonies.
Oh.
Psych! No, it's Back to the Future, you dummy.
Okay, I know.
Yeah, Back to the Future. Better movie than The Goonies? Yes or no?
I mean, production value-wise, yeah. Right?
I think so.
I mean, you have like DeLoreans and...
I don't think it's as good as The Goonies.
I mean,
yet another test that you have failed, Matthew. You got to be on the lookout for these tests I give you.
I was just speculating.
Yep. Yet again, after I gave you back your Goonies Superfan card, and then now I got to take it right back.
Okay.
Yeah. Back to the Future, number two.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say about Back to the Future that hasn't been said in a million Netflix documentaries or, you know?
Box sets and commentaries. And
it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Hello, McFly.
Mm-hmm. There's just so much. Like, it would take us all day to explain the greatness of that.
Yeah, but just one day.
Yeah.
This is the 10th episode of a Goonies podcast. So it takes several days to explain the greatness of the Goonies.
Okay, so I didn't include the Goonies on this list because I thought we're doing Goosies adjacent.
Okay.
And this was a cop-out. This is me being lazy because I couldn't find any more on that damn list. Breakfast Club, you know, another one.
Oh, yeah.
That group of kids coming together, you know, misfits that bond over their misfitness. So.
This is confession time, bruv. Mm-hmm. I never watched The Breakfast Club until maybe a month ago. It was hard for me to get through.
Yeah.
And I think because I'm not a teenager now.
Yeah, it's got some problems.
Yeah, I did not enjoy it at all. So
yeah, I have no desire to watch it really ever again. But you know, I enjoyed it a bunch of times.
Yeah, there's so many movies that. Well, I guess this makes you think about that discussion of what is a timeless movie, right? Like Breakfast Club, cult classic. But when you watch it today, at least for me, and I don't really want you to rewatch it because it might ruin it for you. But for as a first time viewer in 2024, it was not good.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I'm okay with not watching that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're going with the Goonies, right?
My number one movie of 1985, obviously, because I passed the Goonies test, is The Goonies.
Yep.
Probably one of the greatest films of all time. Timeless classic. Children of all ages of any generation.
Mm-hmm.
Love The Goonies.
Amen.
All the way from 6-year-old aunts to 44-year-old aunts.
To how old is Toby?
Toby's 9 years old. But yeah. Toby probably saw Goonies for the first time when he was 5. That kid loved it from the first time. And he's just like me. We'll sit there and watch it. He's probably watched it 20 times.
Mm-hmm. You
know? He like cracks up every time. Oh,
it's great.
I just can't get over how.
Yeah, it's lasting, man. You can go back to that sucker countless times.
You never get tired of it.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Even, and you know, invariably at some point during an interview of any of the Goonies to this day, you know, your typical late night host will bring it up at some point. And every one of them says, yeah, I still get, you know, Josh Brolin, like it's Bran, you know, even though he's been in so many other iconic roles.
Mm-hmm.
He says that's the first thing out of most people's mouth.
So good. All right, let's get some other notable films, because I feel like we didn't really give a clear picture of just how amazing the year 1985 was for
films. Oh my gosh, it was.
Now, these are films that I love, we love. I feel terrible that we're not going to spend a lot of time on them. Like Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh gosh. Classic.
We're going to say this about every film. We're going to go, oh God.
Oh my God. Why couldn't that be on my list?
Yeah. Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Hello.
I didn't know that Clue was in 1985.
Clue was 85?
Yeah. Yeah. That isn't one of my... I can watch that movie over and over
again. Did you know that when Clue went out in the theaters, that the different prints had different endings?
Yeah.
I guess on the... When you, for the home release, it was just one ending, right?
Yeah.
I think you didn't know which one you were going to get at the theater. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
National Lampoon's European Vacation. Fletch.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Commando.
Oh, gosh.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, young. Listen,
Radon Chong.
Oh, my God, dude. The Last Dragon.
Oh.
Who's the master?
Show enough. Who's the master?
Weird Science.
Mm-hmm.
Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. Hey, wasn't Corey Feldman in that movie? Yeah, Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. No, whatever. Porky's Revenge.
Wait, Friday the 13th. Oh,
yeah, Friday the 13th, New Beginning.
I'm thinking Nightmare on Elm Street. Never mind.
Nightmare on Elm Street did come out.
Yeah, I think
in
you're
1985.
Correct.
Porky's Revenge.
Yep.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Starman. I watched that movie all the time too with
Was it Jeff Bridges or Jeff Bo Bridges. Bridges?
Jeff Bridges. The Bridges confuse me. Green means like, go. Red means stop. Yellow means go very, very fast.
And he had like a
Baby.
What was that?
Secret of the Lost Legend. You ever watch Baby?
No.
With the dinosaur, it's got Sean, what's her name? Sean, the girl from Dune and Ace Ventura. What's her name? The lady, Sean something.
I know, Sean.
Sean. Miss Sean. Baby in the Lost Legend, they find the little baby Brontosaurus, but there's like hunters are hunting it. They find it in Africa.
Mm-hmm. No, Sean like, Young.
Yeah, Sean Young. That was proto Jurassic Park, bro.
No. I'm going to have to watch that.
I watch the movie all the time. Dude, Explorers didn't make no motherfucking money. They were number 92.
Oh, gosh.
Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had, a lot of these movies also had good soundtracks. I kind of did a soundtrack thing too, real quick. I don't know if you want to get in on this. The movies I chose, like the ending of, what is it, Real Genius, when the popcorn's going off and the song kicks on, it's Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears.
Oh, yeah.
Like perfect, perfect song for the scene. And then, of course, Breakfast Club has Don't You Forget About Me, also released in 1985. The Power of Love for Back to the Future. And I did mention Invincible from that Pat Benatar song from Billie Jean.
Plus, there's a lot of Madonna songs, because Madonna had like Suddenly Seeking Susan. That had to have.
Was Suddenly Seeking Susan 85 as well?
I think it was.
That was with.
That was Madonna, no?
Is that the weird one where she has the tiger or the lion?
Yeah, it was 85.
Yeah.
Suddenly Seeking Susan with Madonna. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a weird movie.
Do you think 80 Madonna? Was best Madonna or like 90s Vogue Dick Tracy Madonna?
I think what you said, I think 90s, yeah.
90s?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I kind of like the 80s one.
Oh, just you.
So weird. Yeah. All right, give me your best. You're the quote master.
Mm-hmm.
You know quotes from every movie. Give me your best Back to the Future quote.
Huh. I don't have a quote, but I have a favorite moment that makes me crack up every time. An expression, I guess, is when Doc Brown is showing Marty his model and the little car takes off and sparks and catches fire and it jumps off the table and it hits that like beam that starts fire and he makes this funny face. Like every time it gets me. Yeah. So that's
quite I fun. Have a I have a vivid memory of seeing Back to the Future 2 in the movie theater and going to Pizza Hut after the movie.
Oh.
And Pizza Hut had those sunglasses.
Yeah.
They had like the cool friends. cool futuristic sunglasses that you could get, mm-hmm. you know?
I remember that.
I don't remember anything about the Goonies.
You know, now that I think about it, I don't remember seeing any of my damn top five of my five movies in theaters. Like all of these movies I saw with commercial. So I think I previously mentioned.
Did your town have a movie theater?
It did, but it burned down at some point. So yeah, you know, like I said earlier in another podcast that in another episode, how I liked watching the Goonies with commercials because it felt truly nostalgic because that's the way I used to watch it.
Yeah. When you said it burned down, one time I was watching a movie. I can't remember what movie it was. This was like maybe 10 years ago. I was mm-hmm. watching a film and all of a sudden the film just kind of like slowly stops. It goes and it stops. And then the fire alarms went off.
Whoa.
And this old man jumps up and he goes, "Run! We're all gonna burn!"
No way.
Yeah. And he freaked out and like ran, and everyone else was just kind of like, okay. But yeah, it was like instantaneous fear. Maybe I had like a problem with fires. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're all gonna
burn. Whoa. Maybe he saw that movie Inglourious Basterds. He was like a Nazi. He was escaped from the Nuremberg trials.
You know, I think this may be my masterpiece.
Is that a wrap on this one?
What do you think?
I mean, we can go on all night with more movies from 85. There's just so many. I know.
Man, imagine being alive. We were alive in 85, but I don't know.
Being 25 and
what? Being like 25 and going to the movies every week in 85. It must like, do you think people at the time knew just what the golden age they were living in for amazing movies?
No.
It's like that old saying, right? Like you never know, like you're in the good days until they're gone.
Yeah. I'm melancholy. I wish I could go back. I wish I had a DeLorean. I can go back and tell five-year-old me, look, go to the theater, watch this movie, and remember it.
I think the biggest thing that blew my mind looking at films for this episode was I thought that they were all spread out through time.
Yeah.
I had no idea that a lot of these movies were the same year. I thought that they were within like a four-year span.
Yeah.
But for them all to be in 85.
The fact that Back to the Future was out at the same time as the Goonies, that kind of still blows my mind.
Yeah, Back to the Future came out three or four weeks later. It was in July. And then Stallone, dude. Rocky and Rambo.
Right?
Same. I watched First Blood Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Such bad acting.
Is that the one where he goes to Vietnam?
Yeah. They sent him to Vietnam to get the...
It's terrible acting.
Have you come to stop the war? To stop a war, you gotta become a war. And then he just stares straight ahead.
I always love the sound that when he drew back his bow with those explosive tips, it would do that like rattling sound, like, or it would make like a special sound. And then he would launch it and blow a guy up.
All right, Maddie.
Wow.
Well, this is better than a clip show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just trying to show how much of a diamond in the rough in no, a diamond amongst diamonds that Goonies.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a better way to say that.
It's a princess cut compared to all those other rough diamonds. You know what all those other movies don't have that the Goonies has?
My gosh, I almost totally forgot it. Oh, dude, this 2 week thing. I like it because it doesn't stress me out having to come up with a show in a couple days.
Yep.
But I really get rusty. I almost completely forgot.
So what those other movies don't have, Anthony?
The Goonies Oath.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. If you want to become a fellow Goonie, please raise your right hand and follow along. I will begin. I will never betray my Goondock friends.
We will stick together until the whole world ends.
Through heaven and hell and nuclear war.
Good pals like us will stick like tar.
In the city or the country or the forest or the boonies.
I am proudly declared a fellow Goonie.
Goonie. Nice.
Congratulations.
Whew, that was a close one, dude. See, yeah. this is why you're here, Maddie.
I know.
I would have just totally effed that up hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
God. 10 for 10.
Yeah. And keep in mind, listeners, if you don't do the oath by, what is it, June 7th of next year, the city of Astoria won't let you in for the 40th anniversary of the Goonies. We've already talked to the mayor. You have to have
it memorized.
Mm-hmm. We talked to the mayor and they said, yeah, that's the way you get in.
Yeah. Matthew and I have already booked our accommodations for next year. So we hope to see a lot of you there.
Yeah. It's not too early. Just find you a cool host, Airbnb or whatever that other one is.
We'll be renting some bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Cruising the coast.
Down in some Lee.
Hope to meet a lot of you guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
It's not going to be a nuclear Saturday. If Cary Grant shows up, you'll have to push your wife aside.
I'm going to have to like hold you back.
Yeah. Oh, Cary Grant. Even Martha Plimpton. Yeah, I'll go for the plimps. Getting off track.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us on yet another mediocre episode of Sloth Love Chunk. We'll see you next week, 2 weeks. We'll see. And we'll surprise you. Something special.
Yep.
Keep your hopes up. All right. Bye.
Bye.